The reading is from John chapter 15, verses 5 to 17. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Peter. And now, shall we pray for Janet before she talks to us about that wonderful passage? Heavenly Father, we ask that you be with us all this morning, and we particularly ask that you be with Janet now as she speaks to us. We ask you to give her your word. Heavenly Father, please open our ears and our hearts to absorb your word this morning. We ask in the almighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Thanks, Lisette, and thanks, Peter, for reading. Well, hello, everyone. It's so good to see you this morning, and hello to those who are watching on Zoom. Thanks, Lisette, for talking about the One Church One Day. Just to say a bit more, it's 24 hours of prayer. You don't have to do all 24 hours, but just join for any 1 hour. It's all on Zoom, so you can do it from home at whatever time is convenient. Di Noon is leading a slot, particularly thinking and praying for the NHS tomorrow at 10. Francesca's particularly looking at the world and our mission partners at 2. And I will be leading a slot at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, 11 o'clock on Zoom. Just to say, we always pray for those who are ill, and Valmore is really not very well at all. She's still in the hospital in Oxford, so we will be praying for her tomorrow, but do remember her in your prayers as well. So, John 15, you've got the passage in front of you. We're looking at wholeheartedness, being wholehearted. And every Wednesday in January and every Sunday in January, we are getting different things out of this same chapter from John 15 on fruitfulness, on being wholehearted, on abiding in him, being attached to the vine. It's the new year. I assume you all took your cards down as we did last week on Twelfth Night. The holiday period is over, and it was a great chance to rest, to recuperate, and to think, we've got the whole new year ahead. What's my rhythm of life, of rest and work, going to be this year? Did we make a resolution to live life any differently this year? The passage talks a lot about abiding and bearing fruit. And last week, Chris Whitwell talked about gardening quite a lot. And we've heard lots of talks on bearing fruit. And yet, as I came to prepare this, I came across this very widespread quote that we're not human doings, we're human beings. We're not humans' doings, we're human beings. When do we just be? When do we rest? When do we abide? Resting in God or abiding in his presence. Only then can we bear fruit and be successful in all that he's called us to do. And this word wholeheartedness stems from having that relationship in the first place, belonging to Jesus, being part of the vine, being nurtured by him. And from that place of rest and remaining, then we can work. Sometimes as we preach or hear people talking about bearing fruit, we can think, oh, I'm not good enough to bear fruit in God's kingdom, or that person's got far more fruit on their branch than I am, or they grow much bigger apples and pears than I do. And there's always that danger of comparing ourselves with others. But Jesus says, if we remain in him, we will bear fruit. So this morning I want to look at what it does it mean to abide in him, to remain in him. What does he say about expect pruning? And thirdly, a little bit, what about bearing fruit? Abide in me, expect pruning, and bear fruit. Remain in me, Jesus says, and I also remain in you. I preached this sermon on Sunday and I had various very keen gardeners come up to me and correct me and talk all about plants to me. And they reminded me that when you plant a tree, you don't get fruit that same year. You wait and you wait and you wait until the fruit comes. Even with the vines, when you're given a vine, you wait and you wait and you cut back so that it will bear better grapes in the future. Plants need time to rest, to recuperate, just like people do. And plants are very much attached by their stem down to their roots, and they grow because of all the nutrients that grow up through them. That same image of letting the Holy Spirit grow up through us, flow in our veins. And too often we skip that stage and we want to go straight to, I want to be a tree that bears lots of fruit. And we forget we're meant to just rest and be. The danger is we spend all our time thinking, I've got to bear good works and good fruits, rather than spending time rest and abiding in Jesus. I want you to imagine a semicircle, like the bottom half of a clock, okay, with a pendulum swinging like that. And over at 9 o'clock, it says rest. And then over at 3 o'clock, it says work. Abide, bear fruit, rest, work, work, rest. We cannot bear fruit if we're not, first of all, just abiding and resting and remaining in him. We are human beings, not human doings. Jesus says, I am the vine, the last of his 7 I am statements. He is the vine. And Jesus set us a really good example about taking rest. If you read through the Gospels, we find that before Jesus even started his 3-year ministry, he went off into the wilderness for 40 days. He had an extended rest or pilgrimage. We're told often Jesus got up very early in the morning to pray. I feel challenged by that. I'm not very good at getting up very early to pray. Jesus went and found a solitary place, a quiet place. We're told Jesus went up a mountainside and spent time with God before he chose and called his disciples. We're told that when the crowds got too many, Jesus deliberately got into a boat and went off on the lake again to find that moment of peace and rest. Resting, abiding in Jesus. It's built right into God's creation. If we go right back to Genesis chapter 1 and 2, by the seventh day, it says, God had finished the work he'd been doing. On the seventh day, he rested from all his work. God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. It's the whole commandment about taking a Sabbath, taking a one day of rest in a week. So we look at Jesus' example of resting and abiding. And we think back to how can we build that rhythm of rest and abiding into our lives. So within 24 hours, within one day, where is your period of resting or abiding? For some of us, it might be that early morning time of quiet with God. But even then, I tend to want to rush to read my notes or read the Bible or write something down or read the prayer update, whatever it is. I'm not good enough at just resting and being in his presence. Where do we build in abiding and rest within a week? Do we actually all, whether we're retired or not, take a conscious day of quiet, of rest? Within a month, within a year, when do we stop and recharge our batteries? We will be a far more fruitful people if we rest first. Land that lies fallow allows the soil to recuperate and recover. And we need fallow times. And then the next year, when it's ploughed and crops are grown, the harvest is greater. We're called to remain in him, abide in him. It means resting. It means simply being with him in his presence. It means not rushing to do things, but just spending time with him. Often in silence. So think of that pendulum. Rest, work, work, rest. How can we get that rhythm of times of abiding and resting so that we can bear fruit? The passage also talks about being pruned. In verse 2, just before the passage, it says, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. And the best gardeners know that you need to prune. If you don't prune a rose bush, most rose bushes, they'll still grow, they'll still bear fruit, but all the branches grow inward and inside. It gets really tangled up. You get a much better crop of roses if you prune them regularly. And I actually did that on Monday in the garden. I went round pruning. Somebody again on Sunday talked to me about the three D's. I've learnt a lot about you cut off what's dead, damaged, and diseased. So there's a gardening tip for you. Being wholehearted means we need to expect pruning in our lives or cutting back. But there's a reason for it, so that we can bear more fruit. But pruning can hurt. I think of the Acts of the Apostles, and I think of Jesus, who had 12 disciples. Now, 11 of them were there at Pentecost, and 11 of them were pruned. They underwent persecution. They were chased out of Jerusalem. They were often martyred for their faith. But out of their suffering, there were many results, much fruit was yielded. The 12th disciple, Judas, bore no fruit at all, and he was like that branch that bears no fruit at all, we're told, is cut off and burnt, a sign of judgment. We talk in business about cutting the dead wood out of an organisation, or stripping out the unproductive parts, or cutting back where we overextend ourselves. Pruning improves the yield, but we need to submit to the pruner's knife. And maybe that means taking a break from an activity for a while, to rest, to abide for our own good. I've written here about when I broke my wrist, and I'm aware there are two people in the building I know who are currently recovering from breaking their wrists as well. And when I broke my wrist about 7 years ago, I had to stop. It was enforced on me, and I couldn't help others. Do you know how hard that was? I had to ask other people to give me a lift to places. I had to ask other people to help with, I think right at the beginning, my husband with getting dressed or getting food or just doing things. But it forced me to rest. It helped me to be a bit more patient, to be more thankful. Enforced rest is sometimes really good for us. It's because God cares that he prunes us, he shapes us, he forms us. So abide in him, rest in him, but do expect pruning at times. And then finally, bearing fruit. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Pruning is in order to bear fruit, to get better roses on my rose bush. But bearing fruit is a natural process. You cannot force a fruit to grow. If we think of the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You cannot force those things to grow in your life. I tell you from my own experience, you cannot make yourself more patient or self-controlled or joyful. The fruit comes naturally when we are attached to the vine, when we are attached to Jesus, when we draw on that sap, draw on that Holy Spirit. When we have rested and abided in him, fruit grows naturally. It's a natural consequence. So if we want to bear fruit, we need to be those that be, not those that do. We need to be in his presence, constantly attached to Jesus, the vine, to be submissive to his pruning of us, to wait for him to grow fruit in us. Not thinking, I'm not good enough to be a productive disciple. He chose us. He called us to be his friends. Looking at verse 14, he says, you're my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants. A servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends. Everything I've learned from my Father, I've made known to you. That's amazing. Jesus has called us his friends, not his servants, but his friends. He goes on to say, you didn't choose me. I chose you and I appointed you that you might go and bear fruit. He chose us. He knows us. He anointed us. We don't need to wait until we're going to be good or wait till I'm a bit more holy. We're simply called to rest in him, to abide in him. And then the fruit will come naturally. We're called to have fruitful, productive lives, to help build God's kingdom. And then it may be that a single life was changed simply because we loved someone else as Jesus loved. Or it might be a single decision that we took. We helped change something. Or a single job we did for others. And we may not even have seen it at that time. Helped change the world for the better, helped bring about God's kingdom. So abide in him. Expect to be pruned, and then the fruit bearing will follow. But remember, everyone, God chose us. He calls us his friends. We are attached to the vine. As I finish now, we'll have a moment of quiet before Adrian plays our last hymn. What is God saying to each one of us? Think about that pendulum swinging between rest and work, work and rest, remaining, bearing fruit, abiding in him, being productive. What is that rhythm of life God is calling us to in 2022? Let's be quiet now and let God bring to mind anything, and then we'll sing our last hymn. Let's be quiet. Heavenly Father, we so want to be wholehearted disciples, and so often we rush that stage of abiding or resting in you. And so I pray for me, I pray for everyone here, that you will show us this week what it means to abide in you, to remain in you, and to rest in you, so that we can bear fruit more naturally. Help us, Lord, to find that rhythm of work and rest in you. We ask for your help in the name of Jesus. Amen. As before, do come and find me or Lizette or somebody else if you want to talk about anything from my talk or pray about anything or just have a chat. Please come and find us afterwards over tea and coffee. Our final hymn, Let's Stand If We're Able To, O Jesus, I Have Promised. Please stand.